Wednesday, ladies, Chodesh Halvor this year in Shara Bitochon. It's Yud Gimel Sivan, and this is the fourth shiur of the new series in Shara Bitochon, ladies' shiur Wednesday afternoon. The fourth shiur. We'll be starting presently. I'm putting the machine on pause. Okay, we're starting now. A few more seconds.
Okay, we're learning Chovos Halvav, Shiur HaBitachon. We're up to the fourth shiur of this series in Shiur HaBitachon, and we're at the beginning, and we probably won't start the first perek for a while. And the structure of the sefer, you have to realize, is, or at least this shiur for sure, is that Chovos Halvav in the shiur teaches us how to develop bitachon. And that starts in perek Aleph. So while we're talking about bitachon all these weeks, and we're learning in the psicha and the hakdama and the introduction all about bitachon and discussing it and asking questions and answering questions, but the real meat and potatoes of bitachon comes once we start the first perek, and it's a workbook. This is how you develop bitachon. This is how you learn to truly rely on Hashem, which, according to the Chovos Halvav, as we'll see, is pretty much almost synonymous with being calm and not being stressed and not being nervous and not being afraid, not being scared. So we'll see. That's going to be in the first parak. Right now, we're learning the psicha, the hakdama, the introduction, and the Chovos Halvav is telling us how, you know, they say in the olden days they used to advertise Wonder Bread. It helps build the body in 12 ways. It's the greatest thing. There's an expression, the greatest thing since sliced bread, because they didn't used to slice the bread. And like you had a loaf of bread and you had to hope the knife was good. And the greatest thing since sliced bread. So the Chovos Halvav wants to convince you in his psicha. He will be listing and detailing the benefits of bitachon. You say, wow, but yeah, it's true, because he's talking to someone, to people, he's talking to the anonymous learner of the Sefer who hasn't yet learned how to acquire this midah. He just wants to whet your appetite, so he's going to be talking about bitachon as if you've already acquired it. So that's where he's coming from. Now we're up to, he says there's two groups. There's a group of ruchniyustik benefits, and there's a group of gashmiyustik benefits. Right? And the first ruchniyustik benefit, and this is what we said 2 weeks ago, the last time we learned, that he seems to be saying, because he immediately like sort of segues into that if you have bitachon in Hashem, then that's your best chance at what you would like to happen, what you perceive as being good will materialize. Of course, many times it's not really good, so then you better hope it does not materialize. You just don't know that. But in your average work day, you want the cake to come out. You want the oven to work. You don't want the milk to spoil. You want the store to be open. You want to get to Yerushalayim. Right? And our average interactions and what we do every day, we want to be successful at what we do. We want things to work. So then, he says, bitachon's your best bet. But he's not really saying that, because that wouldn't be a ruchniyustik benefit. That would be, if anything, a gashmiyustik benefit, because we're talking about success. Attaining what you desire. So we explained that we have a problem here. The problem is that bitachon does not mean, the definition does not mean to be successful, to get what you want. It doesn't mean, that's not what it means. It means, as we said, to rely on Hashem as an active verb. Now there are many psukim and tillim. I made a list of them even, but I won't give it out because it's my list here. I just jotted it down. If you say tillim, you'll notice that there are scores of psukim that talk about bitachon breeding success. So definitely there's a link between bitachon and success. It's just not the definition of bitachon. The definition of bitachon is not to be assured that Hashem will do what you want. That's not the definition. The definition is to rely on Hashem. But there's obviously a link. So what's that link? So we said that if the Chavis Halmodis puts it as a spiritual benefit, then it's probably, what's most logical to me, is that he's understanding this dynamic as the Ramban does. We quoted a Ramban, a Rabbeinu Bechaya, and the Chumash, that you live with Hashem, you're close to Hashem. There's more focused hashgacha pratis, the more focused and that's a spiritual benefit, because you're walking with Hashem. If everything you do, you're aware that it's really Hashem that's enabling it to happen. Not the stove, not the cash machine, not the boss, not the makolet guy, not the driver, not the shatchen, not the principal, not the teacher. Everything is just the channel through which Hashem is functioning. So your mom is living with Hashem, and a person that lives with Hashem is zoche to more focused hashgacha pratis. As I said, if the average person gets sick 3 times in the winter, so maybe you won't get sick at all. Maybe you'll only get sick 1 time in the winter, because you're not part of the crowd that Hashem works his hashgacha pratis on the Medina, or on the group, or on the school, or on the city, or on the town, or on the block, or on the building. Even hashgacha pratis is concentric circles, we said. And if you, and at the end of the spectrum, the Ramban says explicitly in Eov, he alludes to it in Chumash, you can be zoche that you mamish walking with Hashem, and such a person, when he reaches the extreme, can be soimech on a neis, because he's holding in a world with his neis, he's with Hashem. So that's a spiritual benefit. Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Summit. You're living with Hashem. And then the Chavis Halmodis, and that's the link in Tehillim. So that's how we explain the Chavis Halmodis. I said this is probably the most difficult Chavis Halmodis in Shaar Bitochon, is those first few lines. Because he's talking about a spiritual benefit, but he talks about not getting messed up by, he says if you have money, you can get messed up. If you have, whoever you rely on, you're going to get messed up. You rely on Avodah Zarah, you're going to be disappointed. So, okay, that's what we explained it. I also do want to point out, I said an explanation of attaining what you think is good through bitachon, because of the concept of Vashem batachti alei vosha. And I told the story, the guy called the car service, then he told his friend, I'm relying on you. And if you truly rely on Hashem, there's a dynamic that says, well, Hashem doesn't want to leave you holding the bag, and you're going to look like a fool, right? Your friends are busy with hishtadlus, and your friends are busy making fun of you, and your friends are busy saying you're not being practical. Whenever anybody says you're not being practical, run the other way. Stay away from that person. Stay away from that person. Even Ben-Gurion said, famous quote from Ben-Gurion, who was an apikoros probably, but maybe not. He said, to be a realist in Israel, you have to believe in miracles. So, don't listen to people who tell you to be pragmatic. But what I want to point out is that, if you pay attention to Tillim, there's countless psukim and tillim, scores of psukim and tillim that link bitachon with success. But there are many psukim. I made a list. Tillim, there's probably 10 psukim and tillim that use this idea of Hashem, I'm relying on you. Don't embarrass me. Don't embarrass me. Don't leave me looking like a fool because I relied on you. So there's such a dynamic, and that would also explain a link between success and bitachon. I don't think that's what the Chavis Halmodis means, again, because then he wouldn't put it on the list of spiritual successes. But the dynamic and the story and the pshat I saw in this sefer, written by a friend of mine in Muncie,
about called Igeres HaBitochon, where he says this story about the car service and the taxi and the thing. It absolutely is true, because there's at least 10 psukim and tillim that make the link. Elokai b'cho batachti alevosha, gam kol kovecha lo yevoshu, b'cho Hashem chasisi alevosha li'olam, al yevoshu vi kovecha Hashem elokim tzva'os. B'cho botchu avoseinu, botchu v'lo voshu. You have this link between being embarrassed and having bitachon. So there definitely is such a dynamic. We say it in davening and al hatzadikim. We say belone vosh ki v'cho batachnu. And we say in Shoshanas Yaakov, shelo yivoshu v'lo yikomu lo netzach kol hachosim bach. That's what we're saying. So there's definitely such a dynamic. Apparently, that's what I said, tsuri v'lo avlosabo. Hashem is not going to do an avlo. If you're really, really relying on him, he's not going to... Okay, so I want to say that that is absolutely, definitely true. Again, you should pay attention when you say tillim. I think around half of tillim is bitachon. The other half is, well, maybe not. Let's say 40% bitachon, 40% davening, and 20% saying hallel, v'shevach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't hold me to these percentages. But be sensitive to the psukim that link success with bitachon and that link busha. That we say, Hashem, don't make me embarrassed. Yeah. Well, if I say on Hashem, you know, I'm not going to go crazy with Shatchanim. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to do my Ishtadlus, but I'm relying on Hashem. And then my daughter's getting older and older and older and older, and everybody says, you got to go for Shatchanim, you got to go for more money, you got to do this, you got to do this. And I say, I'm relying on Hashem. So Hashem's, hopefully, is not going to embarrass me and say, right, because my friends are thinking, hey, big shot, we offered this much money, and we offered the Shatchan this much money, and you are babbling about relying on Hashem, and meanwhile, your daughter's like, so old. So I'm going to be embarrassed. Hashem won't do that to me. He better not. Yeah. Again, the chiddush in this is that even if you don't deserve it, that's the chiddush of it. Bitachon alone will breed success. We're not talking about if you deserve it. If you deserve it, then it's lahagid ki yoshar Hashem. Hashem's yoshar. He's not going to, if you pay the car service, he's going to take you to the airport. That's yoshar. He's not going to charge you for hovalah because you brought your coat in with you, right? Which they try to do sometimes if they're not yoshar. But if they're yoshar, they charged you, they're going to take you to the airport. That's yoshar. So what's below avlosabo? What do you mean he's not going to do an avlo? He's a yoshar. If you don't pay him, but you say, I'm relying on you, you don't deserve it, but you really, sincerely, the MS, honestly, and it's not a simple thing. One of the problems of bitachon is that it's simple to pay lip service to it. And one of the ways you know if it's lip service is if you're nervous, right? I used to teach in Eish HaTorah when I first came to Israel, and I walked through Shar Shechem. I got off the two bus, well, no more two bus, Olav HaShalom. But I got off the bus, now it's the three bus, and the one bus, right? I got off the bus and I walked through Shar Shechem because I felt, I'm not going to the army, let me at least do this. But my heart was pounding, so I had bitachon to a degree, but if I really would have had it, my heart wouldn't have been pounding. Because that's the secret of bitachon, that you're not stressed. And you're cool, because you're relying on Hashem. You outsourced it. They're doing it in China. You outsourced it, and you're not, you know, you have someone doing it for you. The two points I'm making is that there's obviously a link between being successful and bitachon. And I said two possible pshatim in the link. But we should not make the mistake as saying that the definition of bitachon is that I am allowed to rely on Hashem to produce, that bitachon is relying on Hashem to produce a certain result. Bitachon is, as I said, everything in life we're relying on something. We're relying on the machine, we're relying on the oven, we're relying on the makolet, we're relying on the truck driver, we're relying on my boss, we're relying on the bank, we're always relying on something. Bitachon teaches us to active verb, oh, I'm relying on Hashem and the bus driver and the bank and the kaspomat and the makolet guy and the guy that built the truck, and I hope the wheels stay on, and Eged with the schedule, and I'm relying on Hashem. Hashem is the one that's the source, and it's pure emunah. And write this down, put it on your refrigerator, Ramban. Emunah is the tree, bitachon is the fruit. A famous Ramban in his Sefer Emunah and Bitachon, not to be confused with the Chazon Ish, who wrote a Sefer called Emunah U'Bitachon. So if you go into a store and you ask for Emunah U'Bitachon, they might hand you the Chazon Ish's, they might hand you the Ramban's. They'll probably hand you the Chazon Ish's, because I don't know if the Ramban has a separate Sefer called Emunah U'Bitachon. But as the famous Emunah's the tree, Bitachon's the fruit. We all have Emunah. And we're going to learn a mitzvah Hashem in the coming weeks, months, that the tree should bear fruit. And the Chavis HaLav is going to teach us how to water the tree, how to nurture the tree, how to feed the tree, how to clean the tree off from any impediments to the growth of the fruit, so it can produce the beautiful fruit called bitachon. Emunah's ha'etz. Says the Ramban, bitachon is the fruit that the tree produces. We all have emunah. We all believe in Hashem. You know, but it has to produce fruit. The fruit, the proof of the pudding is the pudding. Okay, now that I spent time...
Okay, but let's say you're relying on Hashem for your job, and as you pointed out, it happened even to you, that you lost the job, right?
Right.
Isn't that embarrassing? Job,
it's temporarily embarrassing, but look where Hashem sent me.
Right. What you're saying is, like, at the moment, you might not be spared the embarrassment.
It's true. It's
you
true.
Know,
it's
you
true.
Might end up in a bad
Yeah, but
place.
Again, you're talking. It's the exception, not the rule.
Uh-huh.
People, you know, we're going to learn, again, this is going to be in Perek Beis, that to develop true bitachon, and again, true bitachon means that I'm calm. So that means I've developed my idea of Hashem that he's a meitiv and that he only does good, and even if I don't think it's good, now this is an avoda in itself, which the Chavis HaLav talks about at length in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh. When something bad happens to you, how do you keep a smile on your face and say, I know it's good? You could know appear it's good. Especially when you're saying Dayan Emes, you know?
Right.
You're making a bracha with a Shemu Malchus. You're not saying Atov HaMeitim, you're saying Dayan Emes. But you know it's good. And he discusses the different ways that it can be good, and you have to study these things, and you have to believe it's true. If we don't believe Hashem is a Meitiv, you will not be able to develop Bitachon, because you're going to be nervous. Yeah, I'm relying on Hashem to do all sorts of things, but he might mess me up. So of course I'm going to be nervous. If I'm relying on someone that is going to do bad to me, is going to get me because he doesn't like me, then my reliance is not going to make me calm. My reliance will make me nervous. If you think of yourselves as, and people do generally, I am bad. Hashem wants to punish me. I don't know about you. If you think, you got to say Hashem is amazing. He knows my faults, he knows my problems, and he loves me. And think, mothers, right? Hashem is our mother, Hashem is our father. We're supposed to extrapolate from the love parents have to children, to Hashem. That's why he created parents. Because the love says, we'll have it in a future parak, that the love parents have for children is really Hashem's love. It's just channeled through the parents. Now times that by 100. So, will a parent ever mess up their child? Chavis HaLav compares, he says, think at the end of the psicha, he says, we're being diapered. Now, he doesn't get so graphic, but if you think what a baby's crying and kicking and screaming, and think that the parent is manhandling, you know, what are you doing to me? And you're cleaning it up, right? You clean it up, and you know it's going to be comfortable, and you know it's going to feel good. And meanwhile, it's... Chavis HaLav says at the end of the Hakdama, Hashem is constantly diapering us. And that's what we have to think of it. Okay. We're up to...
benefit, spiritual benefit number two. Spiritual benefit number two is that it's absolutely liberating. Many things we do in life in ruchnius is because we are afraid of what people will think of us, what people can do to us. If my work environment isn't a good one, but I'm afraid I won't have a job. I don't want to give someone mussar because then they'll be mad at me, and maybe I'll have to talk lashon hara because if I don't show that I'm one of the boys or one of the girls, as the case may be, then who knows how they'll look at me and they'll think I'm a neb. And like, that's the biggest thing. Probably one of the gimel chamuras is to be a neb. And I don't want to make fun of someone. But if you rely on Hashem, you will develop your own system of values, as the Chayyus HaLavus. You won't adopt someone else's ideas of right and wrong because you don't want to cross them because of what they may do to you. So this is a benefit number two of Bitochon. We'll learn it inside. Umehen Shaboteach Belokim to the Enu Haftachoso Alav Shelo Yavo Zuloso. He doesn't mince words, the Chayyus HaLavus. You're not serving a different master. You're only serving Hashem. V'shelo yekabala ish, you're not trusting in anyone, you're not relying on anyone. V'lo yeyachel v'mi odom, v'lo yavdem, you're not serving them. L'hisratzos aleim, because you want to find favor in their eyes. You want to find favor in the eyes of Hashem. You don't want to find favor in the eyes of your boss. You don't want to find favor in the eyes of, even of your spouse. So why am I saying that? Because most of the time, when you find, Hashem wrote a Shulchan Aruch, and you will find favor in the eyes of your boss if you find favor in the eyes of Hashem, because you have to put in a full day's work, right? But Hashem, I have tzaddikim in the shul. In the last 2 weeks, I had shailas from two people who work by the hour, and it's a very frustrating experience. They answer the phone, they go to the bathroom, they take a, you know, look. Where do you draw the line? Can you draw the line? How do you... It's a tough shaila. I'm saying, you will find favor in the eyes of your boss 96% of the time if you're finding favor in the eyes of Hashem. Because there's halachas about how faithfully you have to perform your work, and how you're not allowed to be tired, and you have to work hard, and you have to give it your all, and you have to give it your best. You will find favor in the eyes of your spouse if you follow the Shulchan Aruch, and you do what it says in Shulchan Aruch, what the spouse is supposed to do for the other one. So it might sound like I'm painting a very bleak picture, but I'm not, because Hashem created the world, and Hashem made a beautiful world, and Hashem wrote a perfect Torah, Torah Hashem Tamima. But then comes when your boss asks you to do something asur, or your spouse wants to do something inappropriate. But you don't want to get them angry at you. So Bitachon is very liberating, because I'm not relying on the other person for what I am, who I am, what I'm gaining. I'm relying on Hashem. So I know Hashem doesn't want me to do this. I know this is something against Hashem's will, and that's all I care about. So it's spiritual benefit number two is that you're free. You will live your life with your values. Hopefully, I mean Torah values. And it doesn't matter that other people have other agendas in mind. But that's very hard. I said most of the people, when Sharon made the gezeirah on Gush Katif, most of the people who went along were afraid of getting fired. They didn't want to lose their jobs. They didn't want to lose this, they didn't want to lose that. They're all now either indicted or sitting in jail. They got theirs. We're not happy about it, but it's very telling. So that's what he says. V'lo yavdeim l'hisratzos aleim v'lo yachnif lohem. Yachnif is a tough thing. There's an isra chanufa. You know, someone tells you, you can't give encouragement to people who do evil. You can't even nod your head and show that you're okay with it. According to many Rishonim, it's an absolute lav, one of the 365. But according to everyone, it's aser. It's called chanufa. You're giving chizuk to someone that's doing something aser. You're saying, not so bad, don't worry. Or you laugh. You give an encouraging nod. I mean, we can sit here and learn Hilchas chanufa for a week. Halachas. So he says, Lo, you won't do that. You won't fall into that trap, because we fall into that trap most of the time, the Chavis HaLevi says, because we feel we're reliant on that person's smile, on that person's good favor. No, I'm relying on Hashem. V'lo yaskim imohem, you won't agree with things they do that are wrong. B'vilti avodas alokim, v'lo yafchideyu inyonam, you won't be scared of what they might do to you. V'lo yiro mimachlokim, you will do what's right. You won't be afraid of having a machlok. This is such a beautiful lashon. Yispashet, you will disrobe mibigdei tovosa from the begodim of their favors to you. You will shed that malbush of, but I need that person. I need that person. What am I going to do if that person gets angry at me? The Torah hoda osam v'chovas tagmulam. I might have to ask that rich guy for a loan someday. I better not talk to him about certain business practices he has. I better not object to something, because I'm going to need a down payment for a mortgage, and you know he's on my short list of people I'm going to ask for a loan. Right? This happens all the time. I mean, if in one form or another, if you have the tough one, you won't fall into that spiritual trap. Vim yochiach osam is a very funny lashon. He says, if you give them musa lo yizor bekvodam, you won't watch out for their kavod. That's a funny lashon, because you have to watch out for everyone's kavod when you give musar. You're over a lav if you embarrass the person, right? So he must mean where that's what's called for, where you don't, calling a spade, you don't mince words. So the person walks away thinking, okay, it's a chumrah, you don't mince words. Vim yachlimeim lo yevosh mehem v'lo yiyapalohem hasheker, you won't cover up and make nice lies, kamo she'omer hanavi in Yeshaya, Hashem Elokim yazor li, al kein lo nechlamti, al kein samti ponai kachalamish, I made my face like a rock, v'eda ki lo evosh, v'omer altira mehem, v'midivreyam altira, v'omer midivreyam altira, v'mipneyam altechos, v'omer altira mipneyam. Hashem's giving the Nevi'im chizra, don't be afraid of the people, don't be afraid, you do what you gotta do. V'omer al teichas mipneihem. V'omer kishomer chozak mitzur nasati mitzchacho lo sira osam v'lo teichas mipneihem. Okay, that's number two. Spiritual benefit number one is probably you're living with Hashem. Spiritual benefit, even though most of the first benefit, if you read it, will be about you will find success, but I already explained. The second spiritual benefit is that you will live up to your own values of right and wrong. You won't fall into any traps. Spiritual benefit number three is that umehen is that you're going to be calm. And if you're calm, then you're going to daven with kavana, because you're not afraid you're going to miss the phone call. Maybe that's the phone call that's telling me I won the lottery. Maybe that's the phone call that's telling me I got the job. Maybe that's the phone call that's inviting me down to a job interview, and if I miss that call, I won't get the job. So you're daven with half an ear and half a mind, and you will be free of stress to serve Hashem. Shabbatech belokim yivyeu bitchono lefanos es libo, you will be able to ignore when appropriate. In Yonei Ha'olam, right, some things you can't ignore, Olam Hazeh, you have to eat, you have to rest, you have to sleep, you have to take care of all the things we have to take care of in this world, but you won't be overly involved. People are overly involved in this world because they lack bitachon. So they're always trying to ensure, quote unquote, that, and they blame it on Ishtadlus. They say, oh, Ishtadlus, I'm just doing Ishtadlus. You'll be free, you won't be obsessed with thinking of plans and ideas of how this is going to work, how that's going to work. You're lying on Hashem. You will have to do your basic yishtatlus. And we will learn in the third perek, we will define yishtatlus, because it's this vague word that's out there. That's my loophole for bitachon, is the word yishtatlus. So we'll learn about it in the third parak. The point is, you'll be calm and you'll be able to serve Hashem. You won't be afraid of losing out, fear of losing out. Now, the Chavis HaLevavos sort of goes off on a tangent. Not really. This is what he's doing now. And it's hard to learn, and
You have to listen what the explanation of what he's about to do. Because it sounds like he's doing one thing, but he's not at all. Chabad Lubavitch wants to describe to you, just benefit number three, how calm you'll be. This is a benefit of bitachon. We're not talking about any guarantees, we're talking about a benefit of bitachon is you're going to be calm. So you say, how calm will I be? You'll be so calm that, and that's what the Chabad Lubavitch does now. He says, you will be so calm. Now, forgetting about putting aside bitachon for a moment, the Chabad Lubavitch like imagines, okay, who do I think is probably the calmest person in the world? Person without a worry, person that has no care in the world. He's like my picture of stress-free calmness, and he can do what he wants, he can learn all day, he could do chesed all day, he's calm. So I think we would come up with the same picture, someone who has a limitless supply of money, right? My son doesn't like the school he's in, I'll just build another school, right? A limitless supply of money. Now we would talk about, now he talks about in his days, they believed, many people believed, that there's something called an alchemist who can turn copper into silver and silver into gold. The truth is, it's not as crazy as it sounds, because now with modern day chemistry, we know that it's all the same stuff. It's just how you arrange the molecules. So theoretically, it's not crazy at all. But in his days, it doesn't matter if the Chabad Lubavitch believed it or not. It's not the point. If you learn Chabad Lubavitch, you say a guy that has a machine in his basement that spits out counterfeit shekel or counterfeit dollars, perfect counterfeits. So he has a limit, or he has his father's credit card. I don't know. He has a limitless supply of money. He says, that's, wow, you'll be as calm as a guy with a limitless supply of money. Chabad Lubavitch then now goes on to list 10 ways in which that guy's not really as calm as you think. And if you have bitachon, bitachon covers those 10 things. Now, when you read the Chabad Lubavitch, it sounds like he's guaranteeing you will never be sick, you will never be hungry, no, that's not what he's doing. He's talking about the benefit of bitachon is if you have bitachon, if you develop bitachon, you will be calmer than this guy, because this guy still has to, and then he goes through a list. This guy still has to worry about getting the raw materials for his machine. He has to worry about being found out by the government. He has to worry about someone's going to steal his secret and then, and then do the same thing he's doing, and then everybody will get caught. He still has to worry about his health. It's not going to make him healthy. He still has to worry about food. Plenty of rich people, you can starve to death. You know, you can't eat gold. Right in the times of Bayashani, they had plenty of money and there was no food. And he goes on and he lists 10 things. So what he's doing in these 10 things is just showing you how Hashem covers everything. If you're relying on Hashem, and if you develop bitachon, he's going to teach us how to do that. But he wants you to know, if you develop bitachon, it's not like, okay, but I'm still scared about going hungry. Okay, but I'm still scared about about being healthy. Okay, but I'm still scared about my relationships with my friends. He picks the person that you would imagine is the most calm, the alchemist, right? The person with the point being a limitless supply of money. And he says, that's kid stuff. That person's not really calm. He has plenty what to worry about. But if you rely on Hashem the way you're supposed to, you will not be, you will be stress-free of all these things. Because Hashem... But it's a mistake people make when they read this part of Chabad Lubavitch. He didn't even start Shaar Bitachon yet. This was all the introduction. They read it and it sounds like he's guaranteeing that you'll never go hungry and you'll never get sick and you'll never have problems with your relationships. No, he's not. He's just explaining. He wants to talk you into, I want this, because this is going to encompass every facet of my life. There's not one area in my life that won't be touched by bitachon in Hashem. Whether it's fear of being... A woman wrote me an email yesterday.
a whole paragraph of things she's scared of. I didn't even think there were so many things in the world. And she's scared of being pregnant. And she wrote me a whole list. I was never pregnant before. So, I'm not poo-pooing what she wrote. There's a lot to be scared of, because there's a lot of things that go on. So she's scared. I said, you're not supposed to be scared. That's the point. You're not supposed to be scared. That's what having bitachon means. That's the definition of the bitachon in the Chavis HaLovis Perek Aleph, which is 7 lines long. He said the point of bitachon is not to be scared, not to be stressed, not to worry. So he's saying here, he's listing, he will list it as a gashmius benefit also, the same exact thing. Because if you talk to doctors, they will tell you that the biggest cause of illness is stress. Mamish. So he will list it as a physical benefit when he gets up to that category of physical benefits. But now he's talking about spiritual benefits, because you'll daven like a mensch, you'll give tzedakah like a mensch, you'll do chesed like a mensch, you'll live Yiddishkeit, because you won't be afraid of, you're calm. You'll be able to devote your heart, soul, and mind to serving Hashem, to doing the mitzvahs, to doing what you're supposed to do. Shabbatech belokim yivyeu b'tchono lefanos es libo, to clear his mind from worries, me'inyonei ha'olam, u'liyached levavo le'inyonei ha'avoda, v'yadome b'menuchas nafshel, he will be similar in his calmness. V'rochav libo, ready to take on the world. Umiyuta agoso le'inyonei olamo, and his lack of worry when it comes to olam hazeh things. V'yadome Baal ha'alchemia, to an alchemist, v'hu ha'yodeya lapoch, to change kesef l'zov, v'anachoshes v'habedil, to change lead or copper into silver, agadei chochma u'maisa. It doesn't matter if the Chacham Lubavitch believed it or not, it's not relevant. He's just picking somebody with a limitless supply of money, but mamish limitless, he can just produce money. And then he says, so that's how calm you'll be. Ten ways in which you'll be more calm than the alchemist. And now he lists them. And again, he's not guaranteeing anything yet. He's just saying the reliance on Hashem, if it works, if you do it properly, and you're calm, your heart's not beating faster. You're calm. If they took the EKG, everything, you would still... Well, you don't want a straight line, do you? No. That means you're so stress-free that you're dead. Yeah. But yeah, no jumps, right? No jumps. And that extends to 10 areas that the alchemist, the guy with the limitless supply of money, doesn't have it. And now he goes through the 10 things. I'll try to go through it very quickly because it's almost like a side point. Chilasom number one, Shabalakimia, the alchemist, Sarach Ledvarim Yuchadim Lamach, he still needs raw materials. What do we do if there's a port strike in Haifa? We heard of port strikes in Haifa? Right? Your lift is still there. Well, I need the raw materials. I can't produce the money. I'm a counterfeiter. I need paper. I need ink. I need the electricity company to supply electricity. I have plenty of what to be worried about. Lo yugma lo dava zulasim. He can't even work his magic without raw materials. Lo yimtzoyim b'chaleisu b'chol makom. He might not have access to those raw materials. Baboter belokim tirfo muftachlo. So again, you might want to read it. He's guaranteed to have his food supply. And you'll say, wait a second. There's plenty of people that are going hungry, unfortunately. So I could answer you. You don't know if they're having bitachon or not, because you can't read their mind. But I gotta say, he doesn't mean the guarantee. He means your stress-free life will extend. You're not gonna, say, okay, I have a job, but how do I know my boss is gonna pay me? And how do I know the job is not gonna close down? Maybe he's gonna downsize. So you have a job. The alchemist is worried still about his raw materials. So a guy with a job, if he's not having bitachon in Hashem, is going to worry that his company will downsize. He's going to worry that his hours will be cut.
He's going to worry that they're going to cut his salary, right? No, but if Hashem will cover that too. It's okay. Hashem's not, okay, we're going to give this guy Parnasa, this lady Parnasa, but I don't care about that. Hashem's taking care of everything. There's nothing that the Bitochon is not going to cover. I said 2 weeks ago, I'll say it again. We're going to fly through the Psukim, because I'm not really familiar with the Psukim. So we're just going to read them. But once in a while, we're going to stop and say, wow, look at Achavis Halavis. Look at his interpretation of this Pasuk. This is a very difficult pasuk. L'mano di'achok ki lo ala lechem levado yichya ha'odam ki al kol motzu pi Hashem yichya ha'odam. And you say, yeah, I can't serve my husband supper motzu pi Hashem. I mean, what's the pasuk saying? He's going to be pretty annoyed, right? My kids, they want a peanut butter sandwich. They don't want motzu pi Hashem. Look, he's interpreting the pasuk that it's not the bread, right? It's not the person providing the bread. It's not the farmer. It's not the makoles. You say, makoles, but I still have to worry that the truck's going to deliver the bread. And I still have to worry that there's going to be enough gears to give the truck gears for the truck to get here, right? And I have to worry. You have plenty what to worry about. Not with Hashem, it's motzah pi Hashem. It's not the lechem. It's not the farmer that's doing the things, it's motzah pi Hashem. So the Hashem that said that the seed that disintegrated should produce a wheat stalk is the same Hashem that's saying there should be a loaf of bread on the shelf in your store, and you'll be able to walk there and get it. Ki hasibos einu niftzoros v'menu. Hashem, there's nothing, right? There's nothing he can't do. So your bitachon is all encompassing. You don't have to worry about the raw materials for the machine. That's a story in Nach that the Orvim brought Eliyahu bread. Now you may be bothered by, if you know, that he's discussing Nisim. He's discussing Nisim. And, you know, we don't have Nisim happen to us. So that's true. But it's not the point. The point is it's the same Hashem. You know, he feels comfortable bringing in stories of Nisim because it's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So within, Hashem could provide me my Parnosa within the context of Teva. He doesn't need a Nase. If it needs a Nase, because let's say in Eliyahu's door it needed a Nase, so it'll be a Nase. Al Kaponim, he's bringing in, it's Hashem, and Hashem is going to cover everything. He's not limited. He's not limited to getting the bread onto the truck, but whoops, we're going to run out of gas. You know, whoops, the truck's going to get into an accident. Whoops, the makolet guy had an emergency and couldn't open the store, so there won't be bread there. If Hashem wants you to have bread, you're going to have bread. Like, there's nothing to say no. Ba'omar kafirim roshu v'ra'evu v'dosh Hashem l'yachzul choltol. Ba'omar yiras Hashem kadoshu v'kiyam machzul v'ra'ya. Ba'asheni number two is that the alchemist has to worry about side effects, unintended consequences. Everything we do, right? I trust my boss. My boss is going to give me the money he owes me, right? But then there's side problems I have to worry about. Now this one's going to come and ask me for a loan, and this is going to cause someone else to be jealous of me. And right, everything has ripple effects. The alchemist has to worry about ripple effects. He's breathing in dangerous fumes, especially if he's from California. He's breathing in dangerous fumes, and it's not healthy. You know, he's doing something. The point of the Chavis HaLavis is not the alchemist and the dangerous fumes. The point is, you still have to, you have as much money as you want, you still have to worry about the unintended, unwanted consequences or ramifications of what you're doing. Everything gives off a ripple effect. With Hashem, if you have talking to Hashem, you don't have to worry. Hashem is covering the ripple effect also. The alchemist, Sorech Lamaisim V'Lamalachos, there's a certain process in producing the gold, the silver. Lo yishlam lo chetzo zu losam. He needs it to produce the gold. The efshe sheyem yisu. It can be dangerous. Reichom, the smell, the oshnam, the fumes, the whole chemical process going on.
Im hasmodos va'avoda ba'orech ha'yagia b'hem.
You're relying on your job, but you know you become a workaholic, and the job will end up being very injurious to your health. Right? It'll end up ruining, chas v'shalom, dysfunctional in the family, because you become a workaholic. Because you have to keep working, so it's going to affect your relationship at home, and it might affect your health. So he says, so the alchemist has to worry about these things. Anybody who's relying on things like that has to worry about, as I say, the ripple effect of what he's doing. But with Hashem, there's no ripple effect. Hashem has taken everything into account already. So your reliance governs that as well. So it covers everything. It covers any injurious side effects. I'm relying on Hashem, you know, that this is all going to work out, and that includes that I won't get sick from it, and that and it won't make me dysfunctional.
That we'll be learning about.
He throws it in here because it's true. He's saying that everything Hashem does will, I would say you're okay with, but the Chavos HaLavos really demands much more than being okay with it. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to embrace it. And this is what, whatever Hashem throws at you, he wants you to embrace.
Okay, so let's say you do the same, you have a job, like you're a coal miner, for example. Okay, you could be a person who sits in front of a computer 12 hours a day. Those jobs have physical risks involved. Okay? Coal mining, or so the person who doesn't rely on Shem should be frightened that the physical risk could happen to them, and the person who does rely on Shem
Chas v'shalom. The person that now we go back to sort of benefit number two. The person that relies on Hashem will say, "I can't do this for 12 hours a day. It's injurious to my health. It's a lack of ishtadlus. I can only sit in front of a computer 8 hours a day. I'll get less money. My boss might fire me." Not worried. Hashem's going to cover that. It's the same Hashem that you're relying on will take care of those, what you think are problems as well. If he would be talking about something that is clearly injurious to your health, then it's a lack of ishtadlus to do it without taking the proper precautions. Right? The x-ray technician in the lab has to wear a lead vest. You know, he has to. He can't rely on Hashem because that's lacking in his tadlus. His point is, if it's, let's say, you see, coal mining is a good example. Let's say it's an accepted thing that people are coal miners, you know, and it's not considered dangerous. But, you know, it could be dangerous, you know, you could have a work. What?
Black lung disease, I mean.
Right, so once it reaches a certain madrega, it's taka usser to do that.
Uh-huh.
Because it's called you're not taking care of your health. Uh-huh. So that's a lack of proper hishtadlus. If alchemy would be like black, if he would be describing a matzav like black lung disease, then it's sure usser to do it.
Uh-huh.
But he's describing that it's a potential, possible work-related problem. So he says the alchemist is worried, and the Baal Bitachon is not worried because Hashem's covering that also. And meanwhile, he throws in these things, but I don't want to sit on them because we have the whole shiur to learn, and he will, because he throws in here the sentence: anything that Hashem throws at you, you makabel b'sasan or b'simcha, you're happy about. But we'll have plenty of time to elaborate on that and learn that. The tearful bo'ela b'menucha b'hashket b'shalvo k'mo shekosav b'nos deshe yarbit zeini almei menucha sina aleini. Number three, okay, we have to stop here really, I'll just tease you. Number three is the alchemist is doesn't want anybody else to know because he's afraid other people will start doing it and he has what to lose. So he's nervous people will find out his secret. While the Baal Bitachon is going to walk out of this room and say, everybody should come to Rabbi Malinowitz's class. It is so great. This is not a secret. This is something I want to share with everybody.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get in. Okay. And there is someone here that does it, but I don't want to embarrass us. I won't say her name.
I'm sorry. It's too late. Hello? Ken. Lo. Am I thorough, sir? Reish? I'm coming to that. Lo. I need rock to say I'm Rav Kornfeld. I want to tell Shmoa. I'm Rav Kornfeld. Say that. Yes, I'm going to have a spare telephone from Rav Kornfeld. לא, אני לא אמרתי זה, אני מוכן לפגש שניים. כן. אני מוכן, אני לא רוצה, יש מדי סיפורים ודיבורים, אם אתה רוצה, אם כבודו רוצה, רק אני ורק מנפל. אוקיי, אני מוכן כל הצהריים, אני אתן לך מספר סל שלו, יש לך 054-847-5313. אבל אני לא יודע, זה לא בכיס שלו כל היום, אז אני לא יודע. אבל אני לא רוצה, אני רוצה רק איתו שתדבר, שכבודו ידבר לשנינו. אוקיי. אני מוכן היום.
What? Do you have a minute for questions?
A minute, yeah.
You go. I don't really, I don't want to hear you.
You know, a half a minute just went by.
Okay, well, wait another minute and see if there's a minute left.
I wonder if it's family members that you're trying to accommodate them. I mean, that it's not like a business or something. You have to keep it on environment. If it's cousins and relatives,
well,
how do you fit that into the whole thing?
Wait. I'll answer you. I can't answer you because I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll answer you. There are either halachas or hashkafos governing every situation. Bitachon kicks in after that. I do what I'm supposed to do. I do what Hashem wants me to do. If I don't know what Hashem wants me to do, I ask a Rav. And then I have bitachon that it's going to work out.
So should I actually ask specific things on it?
If you have situations that you don't know what to do, do you have an email? So then call me up and we'll make an appointment.
But when is that?
I can't. I'm Baruch Hashem busy. There's no usually. Call me up and we'll make an appointment. No problem. We'll make an appointment. I'll make time. I make time. The reason I'm busy is because I'm making time for people. So email is really the easiest because then I go, what about 2 o'clock? No. Okay, what about 2:30? But if you want to call me, but it's not going to get till after Shabbos, so call me on Sunday.
Just
call me. 054. Call me Sunday after 10 a.m. and we'll make up a time. Maybe it'll be Sunday, maybe it'll be Monday, maybe it'll be Tuesday. We'll make up a time then to meet. This week's already like.